to kids. Do you like parties? Yeah, kids love parties. They got birthday parties and parties just because all the time. It seems like I remember when I was a parent, kids just were always going to parties, and I hear people all the time saying, hey, I've got to take my kid to this party and that party, and it just gets crazy. But kids, today, we're going to talk about a party that happened in a street, okay? So I want you to listen really closely because there are some interesting characters that were there present at this party. First and most important, Jesus was at the party. So anytime you got a party and Jesus is there, that's going to be a good time, right? Right? Jesus had some friends at the party as well, so some people that liked Jesus. But Jesus also had some people at the party that didn't like him. Those guys were called Pharisees, all right? The reason they were called Pharisees, young people, is because they were not fair, you see. All right. And thank you, old people, for acknowledging the joke. There's also a donkey at the party, and we're going to talk a lot about him. And then there was even some rocks at the party. So this is a fun party. I want you kids to try to keep listening and see if you can pick up all these characters in the party while we go. But hey, it's not just kids that like parties. We all like a party. We all like a celebration. Quite honestly, this morning, the first half hour of our service, I have really enjoyed the celebration atmosphere that's added to it because we got kids and kids leaders, and there's just lots of fun and singing, dancing. We do that all the time, by the way, kids or not. But we all like that. And next week, we're going to have a big party because we're going to be celebrating Easter. But today, I want to talk about the pre-party that happened. The week before Easter, there's a day we call Palm Sunday. We celebrate Palm Sunday because it's the day that Jesus rode in to Jerusalem. You remember, on a donkey that we're going to talk about a little bit later. And there was crowds all over the place. They were excited. They were singing and they were dancing because Jesus was coming to town. And what they thought was about to happen is that Jesus was going to rescue them from the oppression of the Romans. They were slaves pretty much to the Romans. The Romans treated the Jewish people really badly and everything. And they thought Jesus was going to come as their new king and he was going to take care of it. But Jesus was actually coming to rescue them from something even bigger than the Romans. He was coming to rescue them from their sins. Now, a lot of people today treat Jesus the same way. When we have a hard time in our life, when we've got a problem that's too big for us that we can't fix, we'll go to Jesus. Hey, that's right. I forgot. I can go to Jesus because he'll fix all my problems. Anybody remember doing that yesterday? Yeah. That's what we do, right? And the reality is, too often we're looking for a solution to our problems, a fix for our problems, and we're not really concerned about forgiveness of our sins, which is our biggest problem. Now, we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about more of that next week. So I want to look at some of the characters that were at this party in the street. So let's get to Luke chapter 19. If you got your Bible, by the way, Luke was a doctor who wrote a book about all the things he experienced and saw and knew about Jesus in that first century. So Luke, in chapter 19, verse 36, it says, as he rode along, that's talking about Jesus riding along, says the crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. So there were crowds of people lining the streets like a parade. Anybody ever been to a parade? Yep, kids. Yep, we like parades. They're fun, right? Right. Well, Jesus was the feature of this parade. They were going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. Now, if you want to know more about Passover, when do you come to see about that, hear about that? Wednesday, right? Wednesday during the day, we're going to talk more about the Passover. But they were going to celebrate that. That was a big party that all the Jewish people went to once a year. And they came from all around to come to this party. Now, word had gotten out that Jesus was coming to town. And the expectation, like I told you before, was that he was coming and it was time for him to become their king. So people were excited. They were lying in the streets, welcoming Jesus in, throwing their clothes in his way, and making a path like they're rolling out the red carpet. And this is what happened then. It says, when he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. So there was a crowd of people, but in this crowd, there were friends who had decided they were going to be followers of Jesus. They said, hey, I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to follow him. So that's who we're talking about now. It says they were singing and shouting and praising God because of all the miracles they'd seen. They had seen him feed over 5,000 people at once. They'd seen him casting out demons. They'd seen him healing lame people and blind people, restoring their sight. And they were all excited because that's not something just everyone can do, right? So they're singing, they're praising Jesus and everything, and it's a great time. They were saying things like this: blessings on the King, that's important, who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, and the glory in highest heaven. The King was coming. This is the first time Jesus allows them to acknowledge that. You're going to notice. Good. They're ready to make him king, but there were some people there in the crowd, along with his friends, who didn't like what was happening. Do you remember the people I told you that didn't like Jesus? Kids? Anybody? They were not fair, you see, right? The Pharisees, right. They didn't like what was happening. So look what they said. Some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." They said, "You got to put a stop to this, Jesus. We are not excited." The Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. They were in charge, and they liked it like that. They didn't want to give up any authority of their own. And if Jesus comes in as the king, that's going to be a problem for them positionally. They're not going to be excited about that. They knew all about Jesus. They've been trying to figure out how to get rid of him for ages, for donkey's years, if you will. Coming back to the donkey in a minute. Don't forget, kids. Now, he's coming in, and the people are ready to crown him king. That's going to be a problem for the Pharisees, so they told him, make your followers stop. Look what Jesus said to the Pharisees. If they kept quiet, I can do that. I can tell them to be quiet. But if I tell them to be quiet, guess what? We're going to have some rock stars, because the stones along the road would burst into cheers. The rocks are going to praise me. So, hey, you want me to tell them to be quiet? Maybe I could do that. But, guys, you're not going to stop this. This is my time. This is happening. And everybody's going to be praising me. So he was affirming what had happened. And again, the first time that he allowed them to acknowledge he was the Messiah. So this is what we celebrate today. Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. But I want us to step back, and I want us to look today and spend some time at looking at the characters, the people in the story who got Jesus to Jerusalem. How did he get there? It wasn't just the crowds. Before the crowds, some other things were happening. And what we're going to learn is that God uses disciples and he uses donkeys. All right? So hang on for this. Luke chapter 19, verse 29. He sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. So Jesus sends the disciples to prepare the way for this entry, okay? This parade didn't just happen. There had to be some preparation going on. So he sent disciples and he gave them a very specific mission to do. He gave them an opportunity, if you will, an opportunity to serve him. He said, I want you to go to the village, find the donkey, bring him to me. Pretty simple, right? Simple task, go to the village, find the donkey, bring him to me. Now, I can imagine the disciples. You want us to do what? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. This is a test, right? Because why do you want a donkey? Certainly, it would have been a strange request. As I was doing service planning this week with the team, I actually asked them, I said, okay, guys, can I get a live donkey for the service today? Yeah, they reacted kind of like you did. Murmurs and laughs and everything, like they thought that was stupid. So this morning, I still needed a donkey. So my friend Oakley just happened to have a donkey, right? So good on you kids. We love you kids. Thank you for kids, because kids will cooperate when my team won't. There might be a future for you, Oakley. There we go. So there's the donkey. You can admire that for the rest of the service. So why did Jesus want the donkey? They would be wondering. We've been walking all these years, walking everywhere we go. Why do we need a donkey? And maybe even if they had cottoned on to it, he's coming in as king. He is going to be riding in as king. They said, the donkey? How about a stallion? How about a Clydesdale? Something like that. Why a donkey? He tells them something else that should have been a clue to them about what was coming. He says this, if anyone asks, why are you untying that colt? Just say the Lord needs it. So in carrying out this assignment, Jesus words them up, says, you're going to have some opposition. There might just be somebody that doesn't like the fact you're going to get this donkey. And of course they did. Look at verse 32. It says, they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. So they go to this town, they find the donkey, and I imagine they would have been a little bit nervous. Okay, there's the donkey. He said, we're going to find one. Now, how do we get it? We're going to go untie it, but hey, maybe you be the lookout. You watch to make sure nobody's going to stop me, and then I'll go untie it. We don't know what happened here. I know I would have been nervous, and I would have wanted Pastor Justin and Pastor Inike and Pastor Deanna to be doing this, and I'm just sitting back saying, yeah, bring me the donkey, all right? You know, I'm not Jesus, by the way. So the owner says, what do you think you're doing? So they went, they're obeying, they're untying the colt, and the owner said, what are you doing? And they responded just like Jesus had told them. Tell them the Lord needs him. And the owner said, oh, okay. Simple. God had gone before them to remove the opposition. They faced opposition, but God had already worked it out. The problem that they encountered was already solved. For you and I today, we need to take great note of that, because we worry about all the problems. We worry about all the opposition that we're going to face in life. And God's already got it worked out for us. So in all of this, we see something about the disciples that Jesus chose to send on a mission. We see that they were obedient. So they've got an opportunity, they're facing opposition, and they're obedient. A job that seems strange and full of problems. They didn't stand around and argue. They didn't debate and discuss how unreasonable the task seemed, like my team did when I asked them for a live donkey today. Yeah. Yeah. They didn't try to find a better solution. They just did what Jesus told them to do. So we see that Jesus uses disciples, but we also see that he uses donkeys. Yeah, this one's too cute, so I had to use this one. You know, donkeys are an unlikely choice if you're going to ride in as king. If I'm riding in as king, I'm not going to ride that. I'm probably going to ride something more like this. Right? Yeah. Yeah. No, that's not my car. That's my cousin's husband's car, and he let me sit there. He didn't let me drive it, and I'm actually glad, because I would have been very afraid. But it was funny, though, because as we were riding in it to the place we were going, there were people. It was almost like a parade. People said, an R8, you know, and they were all excited and everything. And I was just scared because he was driving too fast. But anyway, that's another story we'll get to another day. But donkeys are stubborn animals. They're not fast. They're not beautiful. Sorry, Oakley, yours is beautiful. And they're not smart. They're beasts of burden. They're working animals. Donkeys have to be trained and worked with to get them to do what you want them to do. And this is a wild donkey that no one's ever ridden, and it probably hasn't done a whole lot. Notice, though, that the donkey was willing. This would have been very uncharacteristic of a wild donkey. He was not going to go anywhere that he didn't want to go. That's the nature of a donkey. But he allowed himself to be saddled with their clothes. He allowed Jesus to sit on him to ride into town. This donkey was continually submitting to the authority of Jesus. That tells us that God has authority over not just people, but also creation and over animals. And the donkey is exhibiting that right now. He was a willing servant who held Jesus up. We also notice that this donkey didn't get distracted. There were obstacles being placed in his way. People were throwing their clothes in the way. They were throwing palm branches in the way. And if I'm a donkey, I'm thinking, hang on a minute. What's going on here? I've had enough, I think. I've got Jesus on my back, okay? I didn't know about all this, but I'm willing. I'm trying. And now you're throwing all these obstacles in my way, all the opposition in my way. The donkey didn't have any of that. He just kept going, just stayed focused. He could have made him stop. He could have gotten an attitude. You know, I see the disciples and the donkey quite similar. When you look at the disciples and the donkey, they each had an opportunity. The request was strange, and it would require them to go against their nature, their natural response to carry it out. They each had opposition. Carrying out the task wasn't simple. People were creating problems for them, but God was solving the problems. And then finally, they were both obedient. They did what they were called to do in submission to Jesus. Disciples, donkeys, really similar people. So if you're not willing to be a disciple today, as we start to wrap this up a little bit, if you're not willing to follow Jesus and be a disciple, how about just a donkey? You know? Yeah, does that work for you? Because Jesus will use both disciples and donkeys. So what can we learn from disciples and donkeys today? Jesus has sent you, has sent me on mission. He has given us an opportunity. And it's very similar to the opportunity that he gave to the disciples. Go, find the donkey, bring it to me. He tells us to go, find, and bring people to him. Luke chapter 14, Jesus uses a parable to describe a great feast and describe the fact that he wants us engaged in this mission, this opportunity. He says this in Luke chapter 14, verse 23. Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you can find to come so that my house will be full. So he's throwing this party and heaps of people have already been invited. Some people are turning him down, and he's a generous man. People are turning him down and he can't get enough people to come to the party. So he says, hey, go out and find anyone that will come. I want you to go find anyone. Bring them to my party. Again, our opportunity, go, find, bring. That's what Jesus was saying here. There's going to be opposition when we try to go, find, and bring. We're going to have fear. Fear of rejection. Fear of what people might think of us. We're going to have opposition in way of distractions. We might just get too busy to invite people to Jesus. Don't discount Satan's work in all this too. We talked last week a lot about the enemy that we have that wants to prevent us, that wants to take us down, that wants to engage us in battle. Remember this, just like the account with the disciples. When we face opposition, it's a very likely chance God's already got that worked out. And we're afraid of it. We don't know what's going to happen. But trust that God's already got that worked out. When we face opposition, we just need to be obedient. We need to respond in obedience to the opportunities that God has given us. John chapter 1, we see how people came to Jesus. In John chapter 1, we see John the Baptist, and he's talking to two of his disciples one day, and Jesus walks by and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist recognized who Jesus was, and he told his friends, he said, hey, that's Jesus. We need to go after him. We need to follow him. Well, Andrew was one of those disciples, and Andrew went and followed Jesus, and as soon as he started following Jesus, he said, hey, this is just too good. I got to go get my brother Peter. So Andrew went to Peter and brought Peter, and it wasn't easy. Peter said, really? I don't know about all that, but he came anyway, and he became a follower of Jesus. Another person that Jesus went after was called Philip. Philip then, when he found Jesus, he went and invited a guy called Nathanael to follow Jesus. You see what's going on here? When people find Jesus, they invite other people to follow Jesus, right? That's how it works. It's not Amway, right? It's not a pyramid scheme. It's finding hope in the life-giving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. And because we're so excited about that, we have to bring somebody else along. Question for you as we practically wrap this up today. What was it that brought you to Jesus? Or who was it that brought you to Jesus? What was it brought you to this church? How did you end up here? You know, we meet new people every week, and more times than not, when I ask somebody, hey, how did you find out about us? People tell me, because you're right here on this corner and we can't miss it. Praise God for our location. Amen? But you know what I rarely hear? Somebody invited me to come with them. You know, I want to challenge that this morning. I want to speak into that. When we tell the kids to invite people, you parents know what happens. You end up having to do 3 carloads to get them all to church because their friends come, right? Right? Why do we tell the kids to do that? Why do we want the kids to do that? Well, because we think it's important for their kids' friends to know about Jesus and come and see our kids' men. But guess what? It's important for your friends and your family to know about Jesus. And they can do that right here. Most people wander in here on their own accord. But statistically, look at this. 83% of people come to church because they are invited. 83%. 82% who are invited are likely to come. Now, that may be a North American statistic. So I did a little more digging, and it may be a few years old. And another statistic I found, and I'm going to just use this one because I don't want to overstate things, but I do like the 82% will come. But at least 40% of Australians, okay, that's us. That's people who aren't really that demonstrative about things like this other than the footy, you know. 40%, 4 out of 10 of your family and friends, if you invite them, they will come. Get that? 40%. Only 2% of people in church, that's us, and my hand's up, really ever invite anyone along. So if somewhere between 40 and 80% of people will come if you invite them, and only 2% of us actually invite them, does that seem strange? No? Seems strange to me. It seems like, wow, with those kind of stats, we should say, okay, we need to increase this number, right? The 2%. 7 out of 10 unchurched people have never been invited to church. Most of you have relationship with at least seven unchurched people. Of those people, 40% of them are more likely to come to church next Sunday than any time of the year. That's what statistics tell us. So let me be clear. When I'm talking about people being invited to church, it's not about a room full of people. In fact, I'm looking out here right now. We've got a room fairly full of people, and I'm actually thinking, if you do what I'm about to tell you to do, I don't know what we're going to do next week. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay for you to create a problem that I can't solve. Not because we want a room full of people, but because we want people who have never heard the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to have the opportunity to find hope. We want people who are hurting to find hope. We want people to know that they can spend eternity with a God who loves them and sent his son to die for them. We're going to be talking about that next week very directly. And I want you, you were given on the way in a card, right? Hold that up if you got that. Go ahead now. Yeah, pull it out, pull it out. Pull out the little white one too. You're going to need that in a second. I just want to know everybody's got one, right? You've got that. That's not for you, okay? That's not for you. That's for your family or your friend, okay? And I want to challenge you this morning to take the white card and write on that white card the name of the person that you're going to give the Cadbury card too. It looks like Cadbury, doesn't it? Maybe give them a chocolate too. They probably love that. But I want you to write down the name of the person that you're going to give that purple invite card to. And then we're going to do a little activity here at the end as we close out the service. But as you go out this week and you've got that person in your mind and on your heart, I want you to be praying. I want you to be praying for that person. Pray for them every day. And when you get to see that person, make it very intentional. I want you to just go to that person. And you know the relationship you have, so I don't need to tell you how to have the conversation. People that know you, love you, trust you, you can have this conversation pretty easily. Say, hey, I'm going to be there this Sunday. I want you to come along as my guest. Here's the details. And it would just be so great if you'd join me. This is what I do on Easter, and I want you to experience it. I want you to see what that's all about. Come and see. That's what Philip said to Nathanael. That's what Jesus told them. Come see for yourself. So you're going to take that card. You're going to give that card out this week, but I want you, the card that you just wrote a name on this morning, if you haven't done that, go ahead and start doing that now. Write a name on the card. I'm going to pray in just a moment. And at the end of that prayer, we're going to close out the service. We got some nice music playing. Justin and Sue's going to do some things over here. But as we leave today, we've got some jars on two tables in the back of the auditorium. And as you're leaving, I'm going to ask you, by the way, don't put last names on the cards. If you already have, that's okay. These are going to be kept in-house. The staff this week are going to be praying over these cards, over these names. And we're going to be praying for you. We're going to be praying that you will have courage to carry out what you're saying right now. You'll have courage to take that card and give it and invite someone along with you. Friends, more people than not will come. It's about 300-400 people in here today, 350 or so it looks like. If 4 out of 10 show up when we invite them, and 300 people invite someone, what's the math? Somebody who's a mathy? That's a lot more people. That's 120 more people. We're going to be in trouble. We're going to be breaking out chairs. We're going to have people in the foyer, and everything's going to be exciting. Abby's going to be going crazy, and kidsmen across the way, because all your kids are over there. This is for you kids, too. Invite your friends. All right? Do you care about those people? People you, I know you care about. I won't say do you care. I know there's people you care about and that you love. And if you're a follower of Jesus, one of the things on your heart is that you would like for them to come to Jesus. This is a small thing, a small way that you might be able to help start that journey for someone, to help make that happen. So I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to pray over the congregation collectively, all the cards right now that you're about to put in the jars. And then Pastor Justin is going to sing for us, lead us, and he'll close out the service. And then as you leave, drop your cards in the jars and maybe say a quick prayer as you're dropping that card in the jar so that we can all join together to reach our community. Father, thank you so much for giving us the examples of the disciples and the donkey. And Lord, they had opportunity. We have opportunity. They had opposition. Lord, we all have opposition every day. And Lord, this is a hard thing for some of us. It's going to take a lot for us to stretch ourselves and come out of our comfort zones. But Lord, I pray that you would help us walk in obedience to you telling us to go into the world, to bring people in. Lord, I pray that we would obey that and accept our opportunity in spite of the opposition. And Father, I pray right now that you would put on our hearts the right people, the people that you are already working in and stirring. Lord, our friends, our relatives who are unchurched, who don't know you, Lord, I pray for them right now as they receive these invites that you would be stirring them to come. And Lord, for each and every person that's going to give out one of these cards or more this week, I pray for courage. I pray for confidence. And Lord, I pray that they will follow through. Lord, if they put a name in the jar this week, I pray that you would not let them be able to avoid that statement of commitment they're making, that they would be able to carry it out. And Lord, I pray that you would take the awkwardness out of the conversations, and that, Lord, it'd just be a natural thing. And Lord, it would be something that energizes people as they invite others to come to you. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you give us, and help us as we seek to share Jesus. Lord, it's part of our mission is we want to be sharing Jesus. Help us do that boldly this week. And Lord, help us celebrate well next week. In Jesus' name, amen.